Of the Lord once again for being back into the house of prayer. Amen. I appreciate God for such great fellowship. Amen. This morning. Amen. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I was telling someone a few minutes ago, I said, laughter is like a medicine. We got to laugh. And amen. It's good for the body. Amen. And I appreciate God for that. Amen. At this time, we're going to go before the Lord in a word of prayer with all heads bowed. Precious Father, we thank you once again. Father, we appreciate you for how you allowed us to see another day. God, we thank you for your mercy, God. We appreciate you for your grace this morning. Lord, we ask that you would come in today and that you would have your way. Oh, God, everyone up under the sound of my voice, you know what they stand in need of. And God, whatever it is, I ask that you would bless today. God, I ask that you would bless the man of God to preach upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And God, I ask that you would bless me these few minutes in the Sunday school, God, to deliver your word the way you would have it. And God, you get the glory and you get the honor. Father, we appreciate you for this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Once again, I thank God for blessing us this morning, all that he's done, and to each and every one that came out. Once again, happy Father's Day to the fathers. Amen. Thank and praise God for all that he has done and all that he's going to do. I don't know if they'll beg the difference, but I feel like it's a good thing to be a father. Amen. I tell my husband sometime, I say, sit down. You got them boys now. You can tell them what to do, you know, and teach them. But we certainly thank God for this day. I know the merchants would say we need to do this and do that. But if you're a saved father this morning, you got the best. Amen. Amen. But at this time, we're going to turn into the hands of Evangelist Banks, and we're going to have a little praise and worship, and then we'll be back for Sunday school. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
He's worthy of all praise. praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. We need to praise him. Glory to God. Sometimes we got to muster up a praise. Hallelujah. But God is yet worthy of the praise that we can give him on today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now we're going to turn it back over into the hands of our First Lady. Amen. First Lady Demas. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got us a little body exercise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We're going to get in quickly and got about 30 minutes, I guess, so a little less than 30 minutes. So we'll try and get as much in as we can. Amen. But I appreciate God for this lesson. Amen. And some of these words, I told Elder Banks, well, you got to help me with some of these words. Amen. But Asphar, I guess that's how you pronounce the name. Amen. It's this week's lesson. Amen. And for those that have the expository, that's on page 33. And we thank God once again for the Sunday school lesson. Amen. And for all he's doing. Asphar was one who gathered the people together. And one of the studies said he was something like maybe the pastor or some kind of leader in the church. Amen. And so he would gather together the people. Amen. So this lesson has an outline of three. God's goodness, God's grief, and God's guidance. Amen. Our golden text this morning is coming from Psalm 73 and 26. It says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. So I'm not sure what book everyone have, but if you're in the suppository, we'll begin at that first verse at Psalm 73 and 1. And it reads, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Almost gone. My steps had well not slipped, for I was envy at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. And so, like I said, we're going to carry on. I want to give Pastor Nima's time as well. God is good, it said. God has many attributes, including his love, his mercy, his grace, and justice. Certainly one of the chief characteristics is his goodness. And as I began to look at these different outlines, and it was talking about God's goodness, and if you already read the lesson, if you come on down, it says, since Israel was God's chosen people, he was especially good to them. Not only did he rescue them from slavery, but he also brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey. This is not to say that God is not good to all people, for he was abundantly blessed all his creation. Even so, the nation of Israel stood in unity relationship with God. And I looked at that in a natural when it was said flowing with milk and honey. And I paused and I stopped right there because they always tell you milk is good for you. And I looked at the pastor and I said, oh, we ain't had milk in about 15 years. We used that 2%. And now they say do almond milk and all this. But some of the things that milk is good for in the natural, they say it's good vitamin C. You know, you can use it for vitamin D. It's good for the bones. It's good for this and that. And it went on to say the same thing about the honey. It's almost like an antibiotic. It's good for all this. And I looked that up because I was like, now, if they was in slavery, and the psalmist was saying, God loved Israel. Israel was his chosen people. They just could never get it together. They just kept having to do this thing over and over again. But it said God rescued them from slavery and turned them over to a land flowing with milk and honey. And we know that that's not talking about physical milk pouring down on them and honey, but it's talking about the goodness of it. And if you're in slavery, ain't nothing good about slavery. If you're not getting beat, you don't get enough to eat. But he put them in a place to where they were able to receive the goodness, the good benefits of what that land had to offer them. And so Asphar, okay. He was getting things a little bit twisted. And I looked at that verse again where he said, my feet almost slipped. And I was thinking it's like that today. Sometimes we can get so close when we're looking around with what's going on and we forget what God already done for us. When we was a sinner, that's slavery. We was on our way to a devil's hell. But he delivered us. He rescued us and brought us out and gave us a better life. That's that milk and that honey flowing with it over in the Holy Ghost. That's the best thing God done for us. And that's what he did for Israel. That was the best thing he could do, but they just couldn't get it together. But as far, and I'm rushing on some of this, he started looking around about what was going on. And I can't stand here and say I haven't said this same word before. God, I'm doing everything I know to do what's right. And I can't even hardly get my credit right. And you got these people don't even go, they out at the lake. They ain't even thinking about going to church. They ain't even trying to go to church. Mine not even on God. But it looked like they got everything. They driving Mercedes and they driving this and living in this. And sometimes if you're not careful, the devil will take your mind off of what it's supposed to be on. And it'll have you looking and thinking that this wicked world is doing better than you. Lord, they making more money than I am on the job. And you hear them talking about the wickedness that they're doing. But the devil wants to deteriorate our mind and make us think that's God. If he all that, then why are you going through this? Or why are they doing this? And Lord, I'm over here suffering. I don't even hardly, can't even hardly put gas in my car. I'm not per se saying me, but I'm saying the way people think. And that's what he was doing here. He got sidetracked. And one portion of the scripture was talking about how his faith began to dwindle. And that's the worst thing we can do is let our faith fall in Christ. We got to believe God for everything. I believe it was around the 14th verse. It said we got to trust God with everything within us. Even when it seems like it's not possible. We got to know that God is a God that can make it possible. That's when you done put your faith completely in him and not turning to the left or to the right, knowing that God going to bring us out. It says, envying the 73:3 says, envying the wicked. Now we get to the heart of the issue at hand. The writer looks around and saw the prosperity of foolish, wicked men. He came to the conclusion that life is not fair. And I don't know if anyone done said that, but I have. It's just not fair. It just don't seem like it's fair that I got to go through this. But who are we that we can't go through? Look what he went through. Ain't nobody putting no nail in my hand. What I'm talking about, it's not fair. It is fair. Whatever we go through is fair. Because if God didn't allow us to go through it, we wouldn't be going through it. And that's what this psalmist needed to keep in mind. But, you know, he a man just like everybody else. His reasons went something like, if God is good, why do the wicked prosper? Why is my faith not being rewarded with prosperity? I saw others enjoying. That's what's wrong now. And I often say it would be hard for me to sit up under a preacher that preach prosperity all the time because it don't always work like that. Just because Sister Sally up under the prosperity preacher can go out and buy a $900 suit and you can't, that don't mean God don't love you. That just means that's what she can do. But it don't stop God from loving you. God loved me with just an $89 suit on. He still loved me. Prosperity isn't about, this life ain't about having things. We're going to leave all this stuff. And I often tell my husband, you better get this stuff together because you know how our children are. They'll be fighting over this stuff and acting crazy for no reason, especially Jared. I hope he's watching. He's going to be the main one saying, no, mama would want me to have this. You know, and mama ain't put your name on nothing. But that would be Jared. JD probably not going to say a word. Whatever y'all want, y'all just get. Y'all know mama and daddy wouldn't want us doing this. You know, but that's just how it is. People so caught up with prosperity and about things. And the sad part about it, it's done creeped over into the church. This man was a leader in the church. It shouldn't even been in his mind. But it's done creeped into the church now. Who got the finest car? Who gonna park here? Man, park that kick down the street if you want to. Just let me get to the house of God. I need God. I come here for God. I didn't come here for a special park, you know. I sit where everybody else sit. But they've taken this thing and made it all upside down. Pastor Demas can sit right there. Ain't no governor where God is. He ought to be flying from the back door to this office. People put a limit on God, but the fire of God should be all over the church house. It doesn't matter what you have. You ain't got no more fire than me because you're wearing something. If you ain't been down on your knees in prayer and seeking God, then you ain't nothing better than me. You're just a dressed up saint that need God just like me. But as for he couldn't get it together for a while, he said, my feet slippery. And I begin to think when something is slippery, just like roller skates, I don't skate no more. But roller skates, when you out there on that floor, they have them floors so slippery. And if you ain't careful and you don't know how to turn just right, so bank, you going, if it's bank, you going down just the way you turn. But if something's slippery, you can't hold yourself. Not throw no salt at Pastor Dean, but I said, Pastor Dean, don't you go out there on that ice like that. You need to, you know, but now he can go on out there. That ice is slippery and let you know that I'm slippery, you know. But the man of God said, my feet got slippery. He wasn't talking about these physical feet. He was talking about his faith in Christ. I started looking at all this stuff, and I began to doubt because I didn't have what I saw the wicked people having. Saints of God, we ain't got to look out there what the devil doing for nobody, because they going to, we got way much more. They're on their way to a devil's hell, dressed up and having it all. I would rather be poor and make it to heaven. You hear me? Because up there, we got everything we need. We ain't going to have to worry about these clothes anyway. We ain't going to be worrying about what dress I'm wearing or what suit. We're going to be praising God. And so the man of God say, slippery feet. While informing the goodness of God, the psalmist submitted that he had experienced a crisis of faith. As if he walked our slippery path, the writer almost fell. That's a horrible place to be. I almost fell because of greediness, because of pride, because of what I want. Some people, like I said, it's creeped over in the church. They'll spend their rent money and mortgage and everything trying to keep up with the, ain't no Joneses. Ain't no Joneses here. I used to be a Jones. So trying to keep up with the Joneses. What you trying to keep up with the Joneses for? Why is that going to make you lose your faith? If so-and-so want to spend her mortgage money, that's your problem. When you ain't got nowhere to live, I'm going to ask God to help me let your baby come sleep on the couch. That's just how it is. But saints of God, we can't be like this brother. But we'll see the goodness and the guidance of God in just a minute. But I'm just talking about how the enemy will start to cause you to waver your faith if you don't stay in tune with God. He'll have us want everything. I told him, son, I don't work the hours I work because I'm trying to get nothing. I work because that's what they need. I could do 8 hours and go home. I'd be happy. I ain't a hard person to please. You can give me a fried bologna sandwich and some mustard and some drinking. I'm good. That's just how, that's good eating. Yes, sir. We can eat it today if you want to. That's just how it is with me. But some people, you better not dare offer them a bologna sandwich in this new church world the way they got things. That's belittling them to offer them a bologna sandwich. But if you get hungry enough, the way they say this shortage is coming, you're going to be, some demons, you got an extra piece of, not a pack, but a piece of bologna. So we got to keep that faith up. He said the righteous. We're the righteous. We don't have nothing to worry about. But that wicked man that's out there eating caviar and all this other stuff they eat, it's going to come a time they ain't going to have nothing. But God never going to leave us without. He always going to have somebody. You hear me? Someone told me the other day, so then we better start going to the store and getting all the canned goods. It's a shortage on its way. Saints of God, we're going to have to believe God for everything. If it ain't no rice on the ship, we're going to have to believe God. Somebody going to knock on the door and bring me some rice. And that's all he had to do was just keep the faith. But sometimes the word of God let us know that devil, he comes all the time to try to wear the patience of the saints out. That's his job. But saints of God, we got to hold on. And we'll see here in a minute how God's grief. That 12th verse says, behold, these are the ungodly who prospered in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleaned my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. When I thought I knew this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood I there ended. Surely thou didst set them in a slippery place, Thou hast cast them down unto destruction. Ain't no sense of letting the devil just tear us all the way down till we forget. I'm glad to be in the sanctuary this morning. We glean from each other. We gain strength. The word of God even tells us, don't forsake and assembling yourself together. We don't know what our brothers or sisters going, but leaders have to keep it. And a lot of leaders won't want to hear this morning, but you should be the first one on your knees. You ought to be the first one praying over the congregation, not looking around about what this world got. If God don't give you a Mercedes for your leader and sister demon, drive your kick until it's time to go home and be with God in glory. And you're going to have all kind of stuff up there. Pastor Demon say he hope we have the same, be next door to each other. I just want to be there. If I'm down the hall, just holler down there. Girl, you made it. We ain't got to be next door. But we got to appreciate God and take God at his word. It said worldly prosperity. That's 7, 12 through 13. Those just described by the summons of ungodly or wicked. This obvious has been made by many prosperous in the world. They increase in richness. This is the one I want. This reminds us that the lure of materialism has been with the humanity race for centuries. No wonder Christ spoke so often of the danger of wealth. Some people can't handle it. Some people can't handle it. And the psalmist was saying, don't get confused with all this material stuff. It's going to fade away. If we weren't coming down here to this church, sister, cleaning it up and keeping it up, even though everything in here is nice, but if we neglect it, at some point it will deteriorate. And it's just like that. If we neglect this inner man, this new man, this spiritual man, if we neglect it, guess what? It's going to go down. It's going to deteriorate. And the psalmist is saying, don't get caught up with this prosperity. My feet almost slipped because of that. It's a warning here this morning to the saints of God. He ain't talking to the sinner. He's talking to the saints, him. He's talking to me this morning. Don't get mixed up, Sister Demons, with the stuff that you see. Don't get that pride set up in your heart. Don't get that I want. It's not always good, because some people can't handle when God do bless you. I was telling the mothers this morning, some people start here low, and soon as God bring them up just a little bit, oh, I don't eat that. Oh, no, I can't sit there. Yes, you are, girl. Get over there and sit down and eat some of this bread. Because you was eating it with me before. Now you done got a Mercedes, and you can't sit right there, and you can't eat it. It said here in Psalm 73, read it. Don't get too high. Because the flip side of that, God will bring you right back down. You ever see them people pass right on by you? Don't eat that. Don't do that. Don't wear them kind of shoes. I wear Kato shoes, Walmart, Target, whoever, whatever I get these big feet in. Y'all got some you don't want, you give them to me. But people get complacent. They get pride. They start looking around. Oh, did you see the dress of demon? Yeah. Well, I tell you, it came from Lane Bryant, on sale. Hey, God don't want us acting like that. But he was pleased this morning. Not only was we fellowshipping, but we was talking about the word of God. We came into the sanctuary with clean hands. No wickedness here, a clean heart. Ain't got no pride set up in there. I bet I could ask anyone, Sister Francis, I know it's Sister Heath. Sister Heath, do you have to have a Cadillac or are you okay with whatever? You okay with Brother Billy driving you around? You okay with Brother Billy driving you? Because I like it when people drive me. I don't like to drive. See, that I like to see. I'm like you. So you go ahead on and drive. Whatever we're in, I thank God for it. Because we couldn't be at the bus stop. I pass by all the time. I passed by this morning. I told my husband, I'm going to have to do, I don't know, this woman been worrying me. Because she got a bicycle right there. She got a little table. She just laying there. That could have been me. It could have went a different way this morning. She could be here and I could be there. That's what's wrong. Too many people got this up now. What about that one right there? How many preachers and teachers and missionaries, evangelists gonna pass her and not stop and give her the opportunity to enjoy this milk and honey over here? That's what it's about. But they done got it twisted. The feet are slipping and they don't even realize that they're slipping because they're so caught up with the fame. And it's bad when the fame done creeped over to the church. Now all you're hearing messages these days, God gonna bless you with a car. Well, if you go to work, you can get you a car. God gonna bless you with a 5-bedroom home, Keisha. Go to work, Sister Keisha. Me and you can get put our money together and buy us a 10-bedroom home. Give me and Pastor Demas a room in the bathroom. We still got the same thing, right? So if you work, you get whatever you want. That ain't got nothing to do with it. But are you living saved this morning, Sister Demas? Filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you doing what God called you to do? I was telling the mothers, I said, it's a bad thing. The Lord woke me up, he said, who are you? That's going to be a bad thing in that day. Who are you? But God, I went to church. I had on my $500 suit. I walked in there, didn't speak to nobody, went straight to the pulpit like you don't know people sitting in your congregation. I just tell the truth, sister, it is what it is. I've been there, sat right there, walked right by me like I wasn't even there. Okay, I don't have that kind of suit, but to God be the glory. But it's going to be a sad thing when he said, who are you? So many slippery feet this morning. Don't even know the faith done fell down. Not trusting God, trusting what people can do for you and all this kind of stuff. But what if God closed the doors like he did in 2020? What if God take the jobs? What if none of us had jobs this morning? We would have to believe God that he's still going to make a way. And that's what the summons was saying this morning. I got you, Pastor Demas. Five more minutes. And we got to stay on track with God. But the guidance, let's get to the Greek. And then we're going to hit the guidance. It says that we are easily more that the things of this world must grieve the heart of God. God is not happy when he see the saints going astray. God never put it like this or in his word for us to allow all this stuff to get in our hearts and start running after all of this. Only thing we should be running after is him. That's it. It ought to be Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the midnight, Jesus every day. He ain't pleased with none of this because these people got so caught up in what was going on and didn't realize that if it weren't for God, they wouldn't have had nothing. He done delivered you out of slavery. I bring it to us. He done delivered you from sin. Why are you going to let it creep back in? That ain't what we're supposed to be doing. But he said, my feet almost slipped. In other words, I almost got caught up with this stuff. But when I went into the sanctuary, something happened to him. God touched his heart and turned it around. And skipping on down, it says, serving God is not just a matter of material prosperity. If it were proven or striking Christians without, the world would cast aside their faith immediately. To decide that such earnesty has been wasted of time. Saints of God, we don't have no time to waste. It just wasted time to get caught up in all this stuff. Wasted time. All that time he looking around and doing, he could have been doing something else for God. Rebuilding the church, doing something, adding something for the young folk. Bring them in. Something other than worrying about what's going on around us. It says painful thoughts. That's 73:16 in the suppository book. Trying to put all of the pieces of the puzzle together was difficult for Asaph. As in all situations in which he attempted to discern why the universe operates as it does. We don't know. God made things the way he made them. We just have to obey and follow. He didn't call not a one of us to try to change nothing around. It's already set. We just got to obey and believe God. Amen. It said the more burdens and trouble Asaph became in his desire to understand this faithful challenger. While believers should attempt to use their minds to discern truth, to know the possible course of action to take, there are some things that are better left in the hands of God. Some things it ain't even for us to try to figure out or do. Just leave it in the hands of God. Ain't no sense to try. Like I told him, don't ask me about the Trinity and none of that because ain't no sense me trying to explain. He ain't put it like that. Just follow it. Obey it. Just do what we're supposed to do. And that'll just cover and kill everything right there. Don't try to pull me in no argument because I don't dispute over the word of God. Just obey it because everything we need is from Genesis to Revelation. And whatever it say, that's all we're supposed to do. And that's all Asaph had to do was just believe. Amen. But he's human and he got sidetracked. Even though he was oppressed by the despond thoughts of the summons, had not forsaken worship in the temple. Too often, those who have troubled minds and hearts choose to stay away from worship. This, however, was the very place where Asaph would get relief for his troubled heart and begin to see things quite differently. Saints of God, if we're going through things or things are bothering the devil, church is not the place to stay away from. Saints are not the place to stay away from. We all done been through something. And we ain't there yet, so we're going to go through something. But ain't no sense in me. I don't want to talk to Sister Banks. I ain't Evangelist Banks. I ain't talking to her. I'm going through this. Well, she ain't did nothing to you. She just called to see how you was doing. You better pick up that phone and say, pray for me, sister, because I'm going through this. My faith is down right now. I need you to encourage me to get it back together. Back in my time when I was little, they came to Saints' house. People don't hardly want you to ask no more. Sister, I'm sorry, girl, you better watch your husband. Child, come on in here. About to even go preach to me and you both if we do something wrong. You know, but people have changed. This church world unchanged. As a little girl, I knew, hey, these people having church in this den. You know, they got this blessed all knowing each other. Now, don't put that on me. Girl, put that all in the top of my head. I hit my head the other day. I said, Pandemon, I think I cracked some. Post them all up there. You know, but people done changed. And that's what was letting us know it ain't supposed to be like that. We ain't supposed to get all caught up and move with all this stuff we see around us. The Lord told me, keep it simple and keep it holy. I told Pastor Demon, he told us, keep it simple, but keep it holy. Don't let the holiness go, because when you let that go, you can forget it. Because he is holy, amen? Even though the psalmist was in danger of slipping, it was rarely the wicked who were in slippery places unless they repented. Ungodly would certainly face the wrath of God. They think they got it going on, as they said, we got it going on. No, you don't. The man of God said, without repentance, you're on your way to a bad place. As I said earlier, you can have whatever kind of car, whatever kind of house, all the money in the bank in the world, but if you ain't got Jesus, you're on, just like this man said, without repentance, the ungodly certainly was going to face the wrath of God. Who wants to fall into the hands of an angry God? It's not going to be good. I often say, I don't want to be in church all these years. And at the end, he said, who are you? I don't know you. I know you were standing up there teaching, but I don't know you because your heart wasn't right. You didn't even look at your sister right. That's one of the main things. Folks just look at you all kind of ways these days. But if your sister living for God, y'all don't want to care. How dare you not reach your hand down? If you see your sister faith unfail or you see your brother, why won't you lift your hands down and pull them back up? Take them high dollars off for a minute and help somebody, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. It ain't about the material stuff. The lesson has let us know none of this stuff gonna mean anything. It's only what we do for Christ. And thanks to God, we got to let every ounce of it be for him. It can't be none for self. It's no more about us, but it's about Christ. It says, and the wrath is like a great water that are dammed for the presence. They increase more and more and rise higher and higher till the outlet is given. And the longer the stream will stop, the more the rapid and the mighty it the course begins, or came, excuse me, and it loosened. It says, what Asaph understood about the destruction awaiting the wicked is a matter of conjunction for Christians. Though there were many priorities, in the New Testament describing God's wrath. Luke 16 and 19 in his prayer time, we want to read it through the 31st, and then Revelation 6 and 13, you can read it in your prayer time. And he's talking about the wrath of God. What's going to happen to those that didn't take the time to repent and give their life to Christ? It said, the guidance of God, that's the 21st, though my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins, so foolish was I and ignored, I was the beast before thee. Nevertheless, I'm continuing with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and after receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. God is the strength of my heart and my portion. That's where he getting it right. My faith, my feet, it was all slippery. I was about to let this thing go because of what I saw around me. But my faith and my strength is in God. We're going to move on over to the guidance, and I'm going to let it be in the hands of Pastor 73:23-24. It says, having come full circle. That means he got it right. Full circle. I'm back where I started from in my faith. Having come full circle, his understanding, as far now realize that God had been holding his hand all the time. Sometimes, even when we get a little slack, God still got us. He just wants us to get it right. He didn't say we wouldn't go through some things. Sister, if I stood here and say I ain't never repented of nothing, I'd be lying in God's house, and I'm not going to do that. But at some point, we have asked God, had to ask God to forgive me. Even if it was just eating too much. They said, look, white lie. Ain't no white lie. Black, white, green, purple, it's all a lie. God against it. You're halfway doing. Somebody said, well, I manipulated the system. I said, no, you lied to the system. And it affect my area. A lie is a lie. And it's seen. But he said, repent. It's here. Repent. And that's why I had to ask God to forgive him for looking around at what was going on with Israel. Yeah, he loved them. Those was his chosen people. Yes, they probably was eating good, but it didn't have nothing to do with him. Okay, the people over here might be having a mansion. They may have a mega church. You know, it might be. But ain't got nothing to do with this man of God. You do what you told to do. Don't get caught up. If it ain't number two down here, don't get caught up. And that's the problem now. Number don't make God. The power of God, that's what matters. If it's three of us out there witness, 25 people get saved, that's what matters. If it's 100 people out there witness, don't nobody get saved, you don't have to do it again. God uses who he wants to use, but he wants us to keep the faith. So the key to the lesson, all he had to do was not be sidetracked with all this stuff. Sometimes I look at those horses, Pastor Demas and I, they put them blinders on. Evangelist Thomas, because they don't want them to be distracted. And saints of God, sometimes we need to put them blinders on. Don't worry about what so-and-so doing. Don't worry about it. That's between her and God, or him and God. Our focus is on God. Whatever they got to do, that's them. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I know that's what Pastor Demas is saying here. Even if you're not saved, you're going to get up. We had them kids. I think we had about 12 of us in one house. 12 of us in one house, one bathroom. I said, y'all better get up at 4 o'clock and get started because y'all know how Papa is. He going to come through here. He going to start with Grandma Kim. And when he say something to me, I'm going to say something to y'all. So y'all better get it together. I'm not going down with y'all. I'm getting my eyes where they need to be. Y'all ain't saved. Y'all better get up and find you some Bibles because he done bought. Do something. Type the pages together. Something. But y'all better come on. Because we're going to live for the Lord in this house. And saints of God, that's how I have to be. Can I use you for an example? If Sister Banks says, Sister Dem, you know what you're on, young girl, I ain't doing it no more. I don't have to do that anymore. Let me say it like that. I'm going to say, me and you, going in there. I'm going to get your mama. I'm going to get your sister because something done happened. She's telling her, oh, no, I don't drink that. No. I'm going to get mama. She's going to get that all. We're going in here. And we're going to find out what's going on. Because something doesn't happen because that's not you. And that's what he was saying. My feet started slipping. My faith started going. I'm not saying she's doing it. She said I could use her. But saints, we got to love each other just that way. If I see something going on with my sister, I ain't going to put my nose. Sister, let's go out to eat. We got to do something because something ain't right. I'm not going to leave her behind. I'm not going to let her get caught up with all this stuff. But Sister Demas, I don't have a $500 dress. No, Sister Bank, we ain't got to. Girl, if you just got to have that, let me work a little overtime. I'll help you buy it. But you can't lose the faith. God might come tell somebody, take Sister Bank's two of them dresses. But we don't know how God going to work. But we got to keep the faith. I'm just using clothes and stuff this morning. But he's talking about that milk and that honey. The goodness of this life. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know what? I'm actually living some of this word. We read about it, but I'm living it. He said, I'll cause men to give into your bosom. Mother and I was talking this morning. I said, it's just them little bitty things he be doing. She said, I can walk to the bus stop up to the next station, so then, but they take me. I said, I know what you're saying. I told myself the other day, don't you get spoiled. Don't you get spoiled with all the cause. So these people right here, they're spoiled. Y'all a spoiled person. I said, don't you get spoiled. You know? And not that it's not good, but I don't ever want to be to where I'm thinking I'm this. Get above the people. That's what he was saying. He started looking at all the stuff that everybody else have. You be grateful for whatever God give you. Because nobody don't have to do nothing. Nobody even had to come and sit up under his ministry or anything. But he was the one. Certainly, if the leader, so go to church. You know, if the leader ain't doing what he's supposed to do, then if he's losing faith, guess what? It's going to dwindle out. That man and that woman, not only this man and woman here, but everybody that call themselves men and women of God, got a big responsibility. If anybody going to be praying, if anybody going to be fasting and seeking God and keeping the faith, it ought to be them leaders first. I know we have leaders that do that, but I'm just teaching a lesson. We got to be the first partaker of this. That's why I needed to be the first part. But the part I like about it, he got it together. As long as we got breath in our body, we got a chance to get it back. If you feel like your faith done swindled down, say, Lord, increase my faith. And he'll do it. It ain't nothing God cannot do. I'm a witness of it. I read it for my own self. Jeremiah said, behold, is it anything? He said, ain't nothing too hard. I mean, it ain't nothing. Sometimes I just say, I wish I had. I said it the other day, I wish I had one of those, what's the thing that people bought me? A blender, so that I could take it to work and I could make my smoothie because I'm always running. Somebody came the other day and said, Miss Kim, this is a brand new blender. Somebody told me you was one, and here you go. I looked at the tag and said, wow. You know, just a little bit of thing. God good like that. If we do what he tell us to do and we obey, we can eat the good of the land. That's what got confused and got off track because he felt like he needed it right then and there. Sometime is not the time. We don't know what's going to happen. God might bless me with that big old bus I want. Then I can go around and pick kids up on Sunday for church. Me and Sister Keisha. Sister Keisha got away with kids. I feel it. I told her, God want to use you in that area. We can come down here and have podcast and teach to the young people. God has put a lot of things in my heart I want to do, but we got to keep the faith and believe God going to do it. It's some child that turns on those things they look at. Sister Keisha, all they need to know is that God loves children too. But we have to keep the faith and make the time. And that's the problem with the church world today. Everything is too fast. It's just like in and out, stop and go. Everybody on the road. Don't nobody want to do this. They want, you know, no. Slow down and let God use us the way he want to use us. That's a good thing, feeding. As a matter of fact, I need a backpack for somebody too. That's a good thing to want to do. But you know what? It takes time. And it takes faith to do what God wants us to do. Pastor Demas, come on, get it. It says, in the end, God will lead us to glory. In the reverence of the afterlife, in the New Testament, we learn that this place will be free of all illness. Ain't going to be no more sickness. It ain't going to be none of this stuff. We just got to make it. God is my strength, 73:25-26. As Esau considered his need for life and eternity, he concluded that God was all that he needed. That's the point that I wanted to get to. God was all that he needed. All the time I went through that, my feet was slipping. I let my faith go down. Come on and get it. I let my faith go down. I was going through all this feeling bad. And all the time, God had everything that I needed. Evangelist Thomas, all the time. All the time. You didn't know. But it was already there. Everything was already laid out. You didn't understand. All that time I had to go through all of that, God, for this, but I kept the faith. This ain't no preacher serving, this Sunday school, but it's an encouraging service. All the time for this right here, this what you wanted me to do? And God, you making a way. How do you know what the backpack done? You kept the faith. You gave the backpack and you left, but you don't know. That backpack might have caused somebody's life to change. Thanks to God, we got a work to do. Can't let the feet get slippery, as the man of God say. He wasn't talking about his physically feet slip. I use it in the natural and the spiritual. But he was talking about the faith, the life of God. Whatever we can do for God, do know all we need, God got it. You might say, Sister Demas, I still feel the pain. I ain't there. I can't buy me no car. Can't put no gas. Can't do that. But all the time, God got us. If the prices get up to $10, we'll carpool. God got us. We put our money together. God got us. Amen. You all pray for me into the hands of Pastor Demas.
Amen. How many enjoy that? Amen. 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 I do thank God for her. She did a wonderful job. Amen. Amen. I believe that the problem with the church collectively as a whole, they don't know how hard it is to go to heaven. That's our problem. That's why you have so much foolishness going on. You have a lot of this prosperity preaching. And you know, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. But when you take the blessings of God and put it over the will of God, it becomes sin. Because you're teaching people that happiness is things. Peter, they saw Jesus walking out on the water. They thought it was a spirit. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out on the water. Jesus didn't have no big prayer service. He simply said, come. And Peter stepped out there on faith. And when he stepped out there on faith, he began to walk on the water. But somewhere along there, he began to look around. His focus was no longer on Jesus. It was on the thing that was going on. He looked to the right. He saw the tempest of the waves. He looked to the left. He saw the tempest of the waves. And he began to doubt. And all he had to do was keep his eyes on Jesus. So when he began to look around, he took his focus off. And the Bible said he began to sink. And Jesus ripped down and grabbed him and brought him back up and said, when did thou doubt? And that's the problem with the church today. Amen. We start out strong. And see, we think because of listening to this prosperity stuff, God wants you to have this and God wants you to have that. And God wants you to have this big account, these nice cars and nice houses, you know, and they forget that Jesus said, arm yourself to suffer. You can't be made to be in the image of God's son when everything is going good. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have troubles. You're going to go through. The Bible said through much trials and tribulations, we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means we're going to suffer down here. See, the whole effort of the devil is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to wear the patience of the saints out. So when you're struggling and you seeing unbelievers, it looks like they ain't going through nothing. But we so caught up that we don't understand. We're on the outside looking in. You don't know what nobody going through. You know, a lot of people put on front sometimes. You know, they'll go borrow their cousin's BMW and ride around on it. And they ain't even got no car. They just borrowing their car just to try to look like something. Spending, wasting money on things. It's trying to prepare yourself to meet God. See, we as a whole, if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up that we'll get so. The Bible said, no man that warreth entangling himself in the affairs of this life. You don't get caught up trying to get things, trying to have the best of everything. Don't misunderstand, but ain't nothing wrong with having things because God got a lot of people that have things, but the things don't have them. That's when you have a problem. Work yourself out of church just trying to keep that 4 or 5 bedroom home. I wouldn't mind having a big old nice home, but I would like to enjoy it. You can't enjoy that how you working 2 jobs, 16 hours a day. And then when you come home, the only thing you can enjoy is the fact that you got a room to sleep in, then you get up and go again. God, see, the scripture says that the just shall live by faith. A lot of people just quote that scripture. They don't understand what that scripture is saying. If the just is going to live by faith, that means we're going to have some hard times. And it's getting to that now. If you're going to live by faith, that means that you're going to trust God for everything. You ain't got nothing. You're going to have to believe God. You know, this world is going through some serious changes. And we just going through the motions. We don't know. Things is happening right now. Just like this Bible said. Things are happening. And things are going to come to a head. Don't you know it's going to get to a point where currency don't mean nothing? After a while, there ain't going to be no rich folk and no poor folk. Everybody going to be brought down to the same level. Money ain't going to be worth it. They trying to get rid of money anyway. That's why you have these debit cards and credit cards. Now you can do stuff on your phone and buy your stuff on your phone and everything. You know why they do that? Keep track of you. See, cash, it don't leave no paper trail. But credit cards and debit cards and your cell phone, just like these navigation systems in your car, they know exactly where you at. Folks trying to keep up with you. You see. I don't mean they convenient. Don't misunderstand me. See, a cell phone is convenient. But I was born back in them days. I don't see no cell phone. And you can remember numbers. You can remember a whole lot of things. Now, I got a cell phone, and I can only remember about two or three numbers in there. That's her, my brother, and mine. Everything else, I can't really remember. And we don't understand how these things that advance handicaps us. You can't remember no phone numbers no more. All you got to do is just even talk to your phone. Call William. And it dialed it for you. You don't even looking at it. Do, 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 do. But see, we have to be careful for nothing. Our focus must be on Jesus. Our dependence must be on Jesus. We can't look at other people and see how what kind of nice things they have. Listen, you get a good enough job, you can buy exactly what you want to buy. I don't mean you blessed of God. And only the saints is blessed. But he turned around and said, I let the sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. Just because you have a lot of stuff, that don't mean you're blessed of God. Because God is not interested in what you have. Only thing he's interested in is his son. Because when he comes back, if you don't have his son in your heart, you ain't going back with him. And none of these things you possess is going nowhere, no way. Sooner or later, you're going to have to leave all this stuff behind. That's why the Bible said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit a man? A five-bedroom home, all these material things. You can't take it with you. But what you can take back with you is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the one that lead and guide you. He is the one that's going to transform you into the image of God's Son. Because that is what the Father is looking for. He's not going to call you. When Christ comes back for the church, he's not going to call you by your name. He's not going to call nobody by their name. He's going to simply say, Holy Ghost, come up here. And everybody that's been filled with the Holy Spirit is going back to be with Jesus. If you died in Christ, you're going to go back to be with Jesus. See, this is what we should be striving for. This is what we should be looking for. Amen. I can care less. I thank the Lord that my wife, she's not high maintenance. You know, she just like to bathe and smell good.
Truly the lover of my soul. I thank him for loving me the way that he does. Glory to God. Nobody can love us like Jesus can. Glory to God. And I thank him for loving me, loving on me. I thank him. Hallelujah. I thank God for our leaders, Apostle Mary and Lady Danielle. I thank God for our leaders here at Full Gospel Number 2, Pastor Demas and First Lady Demas. I thank God for my own husband. I thank God for you. I thank God for Sister Haynes, Sister Hart, and Janaya, Pastor Demas. I thank God for all of you that are here today. The lesson today is Jesus heals a centurion servant. Amen. And I'm going to read these scriptures, and I'm going to get into this lesson. I'm going to get out the way, and I will still open it up for discussion. First Lady Demas says that it's okay for us to open up for discussion. So it may be someone here today who have studied the lesson, or you have your own personal life experience. Whatever the case may be, you can add to this lesson on today, because we can learn something from one another. Amen. And so the scripture lesson text is coming from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And the scripture says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand praise for those scriptures. Jesus heals a centurion servant. Brother Stephen, can you give me some water, please? Oh, okay, thank you. I saw him walking, so that's why. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a little bit of this introduction, just a piece of it, because this is the part that really holds up the part of the Sunday school lesson. And it says, faith does not wait for visible results. Faith does not look at or get preoccupied by the visible circumstances around us. Faith looks at the one who bids us put our trust in him and faithful to carry out our promises. So faith doesn't look at our circumstances. Faith is not going by what we see or what we have going on in our life at that present moment. Amen. So I'm going to read a little portion of preparing the text lesson. I'm going to read a lot today. But I thank God for this lesson. Amen. I do apologize. My voice has been kind of going in and out. But I'm still going to give God some praise. Thank you. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Thank you. Okay. Praise Lord. In preparing to teach this lesson, it says today's Bible study reminds us of the importance of faith when praying for healing, and helps us have a clearer concept of how to pray for sick people. Amen. Today's aim is the facts, the principle, and the application. The facts is to understand that the Lord is able, say able. He's able to heal people when he chooses to do so. Amen. The principle is to recognize the importance of faith and God's will when praying for healing. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand praise for Pastor Demas being here on this morning? Amen. Bless you, Pastor Demas. Okay, and the application is to pray for people's physical needs with full confidence that the Lord can heal. So we got two words, able and can, amen, as he see fit. While God is certainly able to heal anyone, he is not obligated to do so and sometimes chooses not to heal a person. Woo, amen. We have faith that God is able to heal a person if he chooses to do so. The issue is not God's ability, but it's all about God's plan, amen. And when I was studying this lesson or going over this lesson, I was reminded about Pastor Snow's testimony on this past week at the convocation and how he was talking about how all his kids got sick, amen, and how he began to pray with each child, right? And each child, you know, he was telling them, go back, you can pray. He taught their kids how to pray. And one child, God came in and moved on one child, praise God, and God healed the baby, right? And then the other one, they were still sick, and God came in. So one by one, God came in and healed. But then he had a situation that arose in his own body. He had an accident, something occurred, and he began to seek the Lord, amen, to heal his body. But then you know what he turned around and said? He said God didn't even heal his body, amen. God didn't do it, but God gave him the grace, amen, to go through it, praise God. And we know that sometimes for some of us, it may not be God's plan to heal us right then and there or ever, amen, but he will give us, amen, the grace to go through it. But this particular lesson is about a centurion, a soldier who had a servant, amen. And this is what it is saying. Let me make sure I'm going, make sure I'm on point, amen, because I don't want to get off track and lose my place. But it says, we are about to study a great lesson on faith. After Jesus' sermon on the plain come several periscopes where faith and questions about Jesus' identity are the main issues. The major subjects are women showing that Jesus' work has no gender gap. So we have to know that there's no gender gap when it comes to God's healing. And secondly, a Gentile has faith showing that there is no racial gap. So we know that there is no racial gap, amen, when it comes to God's healing. Matter of fact, when it comes to salvation, period, there is no gender gaps or racial gaps, amen. Luke emphasizes that the Gentiles as well as the Jews have been included in this, in the faith, amen. Acts 10 and 35 says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Jesus, amen. So anybody that have made the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior, you are accepted, no matter what race you are, no matter what gender you are, amen. Praise God. So let's go and get into this lesson quickly. Luke 7, 1 through 3, and it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, I know that I'm saying right. And a certain centurion servant who I worked on that all weekend. I kept listening to Capernaum. Thank you. Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Praise God. Jesus had gone to the mountain to pray, and in Luke 6 and 12, and on the next day he chose his disciples, and when he returned down from the mountain, he preached and healed many people. He presented the Beatitudes and explained what kind of behavior those in the kingdom should exhibit in our lives, amen. He then spoke parables illustrating some truths about the kingdom. And then after these activities, he entered into the city of Capernaum. Thank you, Jesus, Capernaum. In Capernaum, there were many business ventures. So here, there were many business ventures here in Capernaum. And this was considered as a wealthy place. And it served as a location where the Roman soldiers, they would gather there. So this is where Jesus received his unusual request. Amen. There was a centurion who was in charge of 100 Roman soldiers. And this particular Centurion exhibited, he exhibited a concern for his servant that many centurions would not have shown. Servants were generally considered expendable, meaning they could get rid of them at any time because they had so many, amen. But this particular centurion, he loved his servant, amen. He cared dearly about his servant, amen. And he did not feel that this particular servant could be replaced or gotten rid of, amen. So Luke recorded that this servant was dear and he was highly valued to his master and was sick unto the point of death. And Matthew 8:5-13 records that the servant was sick with the palsy and terribly tormented by this disease. And me and Stephen knew a friend, his name was Mr. Sam. And Sam had palsy where he shook all the time. But then I looked up some symptoms concerning palsy, because it says that he was terribly tormented. And I was looking up some of the symptoms, and some of the symptoms of palsy was being forgetful, cranky, having unusual emotional outbursts like crying and laughter at unexpected times, becoming angry for no reason, tremors in the hands, trouble controlling the eye movements, blurred vision, slurred speech, trouble swallowing, dementia, and depression. So I could just imagine if this person had all of these or even some of these symptoms, how he could be grievously tormented, you know, in his mind, in his body. I know people that are sick and they're going through emotionally because they can't do what they used to do. And I could just imagine if he was a servant, that means that every time this soldier needed him to do something, he was able and willing to do it. He was able to get up and move around and do the things that he was requested of. Amen. And so now he's in a position where he can't do these things anymore. And so this centurion soldier heard about Jesus, amen, heard about Jesus' miraculous works and what he was doing and what he was performing. And Jesus had delivered a man who was had delivered a man of unclean spirits. He had delivered Simon's wife of the fever. So he sent Jewish elders to plead, amen, with Jesus to come and heal his servant, amen. Now, typically, the Jews did not intermingle with other nations. We know this, right? Because they considered there to be unclean. But the lesson shows that there was a unique relationship between the Roman military and the Jewish people in Cape Capernaum, amen. The usual animosity that would be between the two was not there. There was a mutual respect between the two of them, amen. The centurion sent the elders because he thought that he was not worthy and that the Lord would not listen to his request personally. Although the centurion did not go to Jesus personally, he still had great faith, enough faith to send someone to ask for Jesus to come. Amen. Because he wanted his servant to be healed. Glory to God. Amen. Moving on to verses 4-5. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So the Jewish leaders, they didn't waste any time going to Jesus, amen. They didn't waste any time presenting the Roman soldiers' request. The lesson says that they besought him instantly, meaning they quickly drew nigh to him, imploring him, which means they begged him. They came begging. They came asking, Lord Jesus, please. This servant needs your help. He's dying. Hallelujah. And his master is seeking after you. These are my words. Seeking after you to come heal. We know of what you can do. We've heard of the things that you have done. And we need you to come. Our master, well, the centurion soldier is begging for you to come, amen. As they begin to beg and plead with Jesus for his response, they explained that this particular centurion was a man that was worthy to receive help from Jesus because this man's love for the Jews was a genuine love, amen. And he had a love for them so much so that he allowed a synagogue to be built for these people, amen. So they're explaining to him, you know, he's worthy for you to come because He loved the Jewish people, being that Jesus was a Jew, amen. He loved the Jewish people so much so that a synagogue was built for them. So they're pleading with Jesus. Now we know that most Jewish elders did not believe. Now we know that the Jewish elders did not believe in Jesus like that as the Messiah. They were still looking for the Messiah to come, amen. But they did not really believe that Jesus could heal. But these particular Jewish elders begged Jesus and persuaded him to come. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been portrayed as dealing exclusively with the Jews. But now he is shown beginning to pay attention to the Gentiles as well. So now we have Jewish elders who were not normally supportive of Jesus, begging him to come. And then we have a slave who is, in most cases, would be considered as nothing and tossed to the side or replaced, amen. And then we have a centurion Roman soldier who has a genuine love for the Jews. So Luke is displaying all the attitudes of the centurions toward the Jews and Jews toward Jesus. And later the lesson proves to us that he believed in Jesus' authority. He believed in who Jesus was, amen. So moving right along, glory to God. I hope I'm not going too fast. Luke 7, 6 through 8, and it says, then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So now Jesus was already near the centurion's home. Jesus had already made his way to the centurion soldier's home. Now it is possible that the centurion began to second guess what he had done. He started to second guess his request. And it says his thought maybe was that he was embarrassed, amen, because of who he was. And then on top of that, at that time, the Jews were not allowed to enter into Gentiles' home. It was taught to them that it would defile them, amen, if they went into the home of a Gentile, amen. But whatever the reason was, the centurion showed genuine respect for Jesus at that time and requested for him not to enter into his home, amen. And I'm gonna read, I'm gonna read a little bit on page 120 if you have it and you want to follow with me. And it says, his request also revealed his faith coupled with his humility. It seems unusual that a centurion would send for Jesus and then tell him not to come, amen. So it was almost like I said, he started to second guess what his request, amen. But it was unusual that the centurion would send for Jesus and then tell him not to come. And apparently his humility moved him to do so. He felt unworthy, and he stated that initially. He felt unworthy. He may also have wished to spare Jesus the embarrassment of entering into a Gentile's house, since many Jews would have criticized Jesus for doing so because of the way that they were taught. He even felt unfit spiritually, morally, religiously to meet Jesus outside of his own home, amen. And sometimes, have we ever felt unworthy? Have you know, some people, and I thought about this, some people will not go to Jesus directly because they feel so unworthy. They feel so unworthy. They'll call you and ask you to pray on their behalf. They'll call me or you. They'll ask us to pray on their behalf because of what they've done or what they've been involved in, and they feel so unworthy. And sometimes they'll go to Jesus, and then I have had times, and I'll share this, not that I had sinned or anything, but there were some times where I just felt like I didn't do everything the way I needed to do it. You know, and as a child of God, I think we beat ourselves up more than what we should. But there have been times in my saved life where I didn't pray like I was supposed to. I wasn't studying like I was supposed to. And I for some reason, I just didn't feel right going to God. I felt so unworthy because I felt like, girl, you knew you should have been doing this. You knew you should have been doing that. And I felt so unworthy to go to him. Now, on the flip side of that, he told us that we could boldly come to the throne of grace. Glory to God. And I thank him for that. But in this particular situation, they were Gentiles, amen? And so he felt unworthy, and we should never feel unworthy to go to our God, amen? But sometimes it gets that way. So I could just imagine a sinner man or somebody that's not saved or somebody that done stepped away from the faith, how they feel, or you're not a Christian or you of another nationality or something like that, and you feel unworthy to come to God, and this is how he was feeling. Moving on, it says, it is quite clear that the centurion knew who Jesus was. He knew the power of God, but he had heard what he had done, and he believed in that. He had come to recognize him as the Son of God, whereas most of the Jews had not. Some of them were still looking for the Messiah. For this reason, he expressed the realization that he was not worthy of having Jesus enter to his home. He recognized that he was the Son of God, and he realized that he was not worthy of him coming into his home. My God. We should also recognize that Jesus himself had no qualms about going. Jesus didn't mind going. That's what he came for, to heal, set free, and deliver. Amen. He didn't have a problem going. Amen. While the Jews, and especially their leaders, exhibited racial limits, Jesus had come for all people. Gentiles as well as the Jews, and I thank God that he came for me, because if he didn't come for us, we'll still be lost, amen? We will still be in our sins, oh my goodness, looking for hope, amen? Jesus came for all people, and he came without hesitation, so he went to the centurion's home, amen? This is a good thing for believers to notice today. Our world is fraught with racial tension, amen? And we know this, racial tension, gender tension, it's going on today. Hallelujah. It's just too much to even discuss sometimes. It can weigh you down, amen. Glory to God. In our own nation, this is going on, glory to God. But Jesus died for every last one of us. Jesus died for every last homosexual, every sinner. He died for every last one of us, amen. Glory to God. And heaven, it says in here, and we know heaven is going to be populated with people from different nationalities who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. We need to love the way that he did by looking past skin color and nationality and instead seeing the souls of people from who Jesus died, amen. We have to look at people the way God would want us to look at them, amen. And sometimes after you done dealt with certain situations and circumstances, you know, I know some homosexuals. I got some in my family, and they real about that thing. I think, and we're not recording, but one of my sisters is married to one, amen. And when I went to go visit my dad, it was hard for me to be around them to a certain degree, but I still had to exhibit the love of Christ to show them that, yeah, we different, but Jesus still loves you. And we went to the beach, and we were all kind of, me and my other sister, we just kind of went off to ourselves a little bit. And I could tell that the one young lady, she started to get convicted. You can see the conviction on her. And it got so much so, my daddy, they brought their little radio out, so I didn't want to be over there with them because at first they were playing a lot of ungodly music, so we went on off to by ourselves. But then they flipped the channel on us. They started playing, it was Kirk Franklin, but they started playing they started playing Christian music, you know? And so I could tell the young lady, she started to get convicted, so much so that she started going off by herself. I knew what God was doing. I could see him working. She started going off by herself, standing in the water, looking up in the sky. I knew how. If I didn't exhibit the love of Christ, though, she would think that Christians hated them. And we don't. We hate what they do because we're supposed to hate everything that God hates. We're supposed to despise everything that God despised. But Jesus told us to love them in the same token. And I could see God working. I could see, and I prayed, and I was like, God, you know how I feel. I don't want to be so lovable that they feel like it's okay that I'm accepting it. But I do want to exhibit your love to the point where they get convicted and they see that I'm living a whole different lifestyle. Because I know my sisters talk about me all the time. They talk about how I used to be, because we used to be some, hallelujah. And my sisters, they would tell people, and I've heard them in conversations telling people, man, my sister used to be crazy, boy. But look at her now. Look at her now. I'm not the same person. I'm not that person anymore. And I'm sharing this snippet. I had to pull away from them to show them how much I loved him. Because there was a time in my life, and I told this story many times, I would go back and forth, because I was still connected with them. Anytime I would get around them and they was doing stuff, I started getting weak. I wasn't strong enough to be around them. But I thank God now, 20 years later, praise God, I could be around them, and then I don't have to be. But I want to be around them long enough so they can still see the love of Christ in my life. So it brings conviction upon them so they'll realize, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to keep going like this, amen. So I just want to share that. But, you know, we have to understand that God died for them too. That Jesus died for them too, so that they could be saved, set free, and delivered. Amen. So I'm going to move on to the inner part of this lesson. And it's verses 9 through 10. Amen. And it says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Amen. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. And it says here, I'm sorry, hold on, give me just a second. Bless the Lord. I think I skipped some, but you know what? We're going to keep on moving. Glory to God. Okay, so now we have Jesus was amazed at the insightful understanding of this centurion soldier. Extraordinarily impressed and feeling great admiration for this man, because this man looked up to Jesus and looked up to who he was. Amen. He illustrated an understanding of who Jesus was. And he understood Jesus' authority. Amen. Amen. It says the Jews were supposedly looking for the coming of their Messiah, but the faith of this Gentile centurion far surpassed theirs. Amen. Because like I said before, they were still looking for the Messiah. So they did not believe in who Jesus was as far as him being the Savior and him healing the sick and raising the dead. They didn't believe in all that. But this centurion soldier did. Jesus had arrived and given him many evidences of who he was. But many of them, especially their leaders, still had no faith. This Roman understood the truth about Jesus, his authority, because he saw the big picture that the majority of the Jews did not see. They saw Jesus as no more than a human being, a man. And I remember we were witnessing at the train station a few weeks ago, and I actually ran into a young lady who was a Jew. She was a bona fide Jew. And when I began to talk to her about the love of Jesus and what he did and everything, you know, she began to point out that I'm a Jew, you know, and I still began to talk to her, but then I let her in. You know, she started to talk, and she said, I just believe that Jesus was a great man. He was a great man. And I was like, wow, you know, whoa, you know, and we know that this is what they believe, but to hear it being said, he was a great man, just like some of the Muslims. They believe he was a great prophet, but none of them believe that he's the Messiah. None of them believe that he's the Son of God, amen. So they saw Jesus as no more than just a human being, missing the reality of his person. The centurion saw him for who he really was. He saw him as the Messiah. He saw him as the Savior. When the friends who had sent to Jesus returned to the centurion's home. See, now Jesus saw that this man had great faith, amen. So when the centurions returned to the home, they found that his servant had been healed. Jesus did it. Jesus healed this man of his infirmity. Jesus had honored the centurion's faith by immediately restoring the servant's health. It was obvious that Jesus was not impressed that someone was a Jew or held a position of religious leadership or exercised political authority. The only thing that truly mattered to him was simple faith. Amen. And we sing the song, Just Have a Little Faith. Amen. Have a little faith in Jesus. Glory to God. And we know we have to have faith as a mustard seed. And me and my mom was talking about a mustard seed. And we, you know, I have a seasoning that has mustard seeds in it. And that mustard seed is very small. But when that mustard seed begins to grow, that mustard seed can grow around any obstacle. And that's what God is letting us know. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, our faith can take us through any situation, every circumstance that comes up in our lives, amen. And that's what it means to have just a little faith. That's all we really need, amen. And it seems so, we make it so complicated. And it's really not that complicated. We just have to learn how to give everything to Jesus. And even if he don't do it right then and there, glory to God, we can go to him like the unjust judge, like the lady did in the unjust judge, and just keep taking it to him. Because eventually, he's going to either give us the grace to go through it, amen, or he's going to do that thing. But we just need to supply the faith, amen, just a little faith, amen. And I'm going to go ahead and do the conclusion of this. And it says, we do not believe that the Lord will heal every person who claims to have enough faith of that he will respond with immediate healing to every person who prays. Wait a minute, hold on, I'm sorry. We do not believe that the Lord will heal every person who claims to have enough faith or that he will respond with immediate healing to every person who prays for it. For someone else. Now, we know that it's going to be his plan that God heals. Amen. And if you look at some of the scripture, we can use Paul as an example. Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh and he sought the Lord three times about that thing. And I'm, you know, that's documented that he sought him three times. But who's to say how many more times that he sought him? You know what I'm saying? But he sought the Lord to remove that thing and God did not remove it. Amen. But he did let him know that my grace is sufficient for you. So just, we can supply the faith sometimes, but we have to recognize as well that it may be God's plan for us to stay sick. My mama has the testimony of, you know, my mom is sick. You know, she just kind of going through in her body, but yet and still she would get up and she would go to work and she would be sick in her body. And yet it would be people on their deathbed. They would be clinging to death. And my mom would go through there and she would pray with them. And some of them would give their lives to the Lord. And she would watch God raise these people up. Amen. They would get better and they would go home. Because at that time, they supplied the faith that they needed and they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Amen. But it don't go that way for everybody. Amen. She had people that was clinging to death and she went in and she prayed that they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Praise the God. And she would go home over the weekend and come back and they had been on one on with the Lord. Amen. So we have to understand that, we supplied the faith. We know God can and we know he's able. Amen. But we do have to still recognize that it has to be God. God's plan, amen. But we need to understand that he can and he is able to do so. We should never refrain from praying, though, for sick people. Regardless to what we're going through in our bodies, we still need to pray. But when we pray, we need to pray biblically. Lord, you know, let your will be done. But we still want to supply the faith that God is going to do that thing, amen. Your will, it has to be God's will, amen. And we trust that the Lord can do it, amen. And I'm going to go ahead and end this lesson. I pray that I said something. I pray that it was clear, amen. We want to trust the Lord, amen, for whatever it is that we need to trust him for, amen. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for anyone who may have.